I want to back up a little bit from what we talked about last week. We talked about refresh means to give new energy or strength to something or to invigorate. We want to invigorate our connection with God. We want to invigorate our love for other people. We want to invigorate our heart to shine in this dark world and share the good news. And so when we talked about doing that, we talked about two things. When we're going to refresh something, we don't throw everything out. We want to keep some things, and maybe we want to change a few things up. And as a church, the things we want to keep from last year, we want to keep loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? We want to keep loving others, and we want to keep sharing the good news. We want to keep those things. Some of the things we may do different is the how. You know, how do we connect with God? How do we love others? How are we going to share the good news? That may look different, and we may come up with some fresh ways of doing those things. But so we're going to keep some things. We may do a few things different. And we're going to kind of keep this theme of what we want to keep and what we want to do different over the next 3 weeks, today included. This one's about us and God. Next Sunday is going to be about us and those in the church. And the last Sunday will be about us and other people. And so we're going to kind of follow this format for the month of January. And one of the things we talked about was send me some selfies if you felt like it. And so here's a little selfie time. This is some fellowship going on with some two great families there. Having some great fellowship. Go to the next one. Here's me and Mark having some fellowship and a D time talking about God. There's a prayer time selfie there with Adriana and her friend Cindy. There's a service selfie there where Kelly was serving and watching baby Carter and Haley was helping out there. And then here's a whole slew of service selfies from Saturday. A big old crowd came together at Fox Creek to serve the kids there. And so just run through those, you know, and having fun, you know, tying up bags, meeting new people, tying up more bags, you know, passing out canned goods. And now we're on to the message. That's a selfie. A sheep took it. I don't know how that sheep, no opposable thumbs, but it somehow pulled it off. So today we're going to talk about refreshing us and God. And we're going to talk about being refreshed in God. I think one of the things we've got to start with is the shepherd refreshes your soul. You know, where does our refreshing inspiration, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from the shepherd, and that is Jesus, of course, the good shepherd. You know, what's some things that we know about sheep? Go to the next one. You know, sheep tend to do some things. They tend to put themselves in harm's way. They tend to not know the best way to travel. You know, this sheep thinks it's a pretty good idea to, hey, these railroad tracks, this is a nice smooth path. I'll just walk down these. You know, and not really the best place to do that, to go. As the analogy goes, Jesus is the shepherd and we're sheep. Have you ever put yourself in harm's way? Yeah. Have you ever, you know, made your life a little bit harder than it needed to be because of some decision you made? I have. More times than I'd like. I call it, for boys, young boys anyway, I call it the stupid gene. Every adolescent boy has the stupid gene. And, you know, girls may have it too, but I'm not throwing them under the bus. Guys have it for sure.
That's right.
Now, hopefully all of us in this audience, we've grown out of our stupid gene if you're a guy.
Well,
if we haven't grown out of it yet, let's grow out of it. You know, let's move on and let's not put ourselves in harm's way like we used to when we were younger, hopefully. You ever make a wrong turn? You know, not knowing the best way to go. Anybody ever made a wrong turn, you know? We've made wrong turns driving. You ever make the wrong turn on a one-way? That's eye-opening. You know, when you turn and you're like all happy and all of a sudden all you see are headlights. You know, that's a wrong turn that you remember and you don't turn wrong on that street again. But, you know, even in life sometimes we make a wrong turn. You know, we think it's a great idea to go this direction in life, and it really wasn't a great idea.
Yeah.
And we've learned that the hard way sometimes. And that's what sheep do. You know, that's just what we do. That's who we are at times. What about the shepherd? What's a shepherd all about? If you can't tell from this picture, that's a stone wall. The sheep are inside, and at the gate, the shepherd is sitting. No, this is an illustration of the good shepherd, Jesus. This is what he does for us. A shepherd, what he does for his sheep, he protects them. Yep. Provides for them. Keeps watch over them. Why? Because they have a tendency to put themselves in harm's way. Because they have a tendency to not know what's the right direction to go. You know, Jesus is this for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to watch out for us. You know, there are wolves and lions that want to get to those sheep, but they can't because the shepherd put a hedge around them and protected them. And that's what Jesus does for us. That's who he is. That's who he wants to be for you and I. Because he loves us. And let's go to Psalm 23. Look at a psalm about a shepherd. And how the shepherd refreshes our soul. As we read through Psalm 23, and many of you have heard this, you know, it's a fairly well-known psalm. Think about if this sounds refreshing to you, this description of the shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I take a wrong turn, I will fear no evil. Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does that sound refreshing?
Yes.
That this would apply to us? You know, you ever feel like you got a lot of things you need? And if we just remember verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. You got a lot of needs. I got a lot of needs. He's gonna come through.
Yeah.
You're going to lack nothing. You might be thinking, but I do lack stuff, Nick. You don't understand. You're going to lack nothing that you really need. You may not have a big screen TV that you want. You may not have a certain living situation you want. But as far as what you really need, what your soul, eternal soul needs, Jesus will give.
Yeah.
And you will lack nothing. Amen. When he says you'll lack nothing, what's another way of saying that? That's another way of saying I love you. God's saying, you're going to lack nothing because I love you. A parent gives to their child what they need so they won't lack for things. Why? Because they love them. Sometimes a parent doesn't give a kid what he wants because they love them. And then we say, don't you dare apply that to me. I'm an adult. I don't want to hear that. You know, we may not get what we want from God because he loves us. There's a country song that says, I thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know of all, I can't even remember all the prayers I've prayed to God. But I'll bet if I, someday when I meet God, if I say, God, I'm sure you kept a list. Just for kicks, show me the list of prayers I prayed that you didn't answer and that I'm glad you didn't. And I'll bet there's a list of those. And I probably don't even remember them because I didn't really need them anyway. Verse 2, he leads me beside quiet waters. He wants us to have peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. He doesn't want us to be running around in our life all stressed out. He wants us to have peace. Why? Because peace is a godly characteristic. God has peace. Is it better to have a peaceful day or a stressed out day? Which one do you want to sign up for? Our shepherd leads us to peace. You will not fear. You know, we're going to have trials. Daily. Weekly. We're going to have big trials. We're going to have little trials. We're going to have trials that last a day. Trials that last a week. Sometimes we're going to have trials that are going to last our entire life. They're hard to deal with. We can be afraid of the trials we don't even have yet. And what does our shepherd say? You know, what does David say as he thinks about the shepherd watching over him? He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though times can be really difficult, I won't fear. Because I know who my shepherd is. Is that how well we know God? Is that how we feel about our connection to God? Can we refresh our connection to God so that we do feel like that? We live like that. We operate in that place where I am not stressed out and full of fear because I know who my shepherd is. And even though I'm walking through a rough patch right now, He's with me. And He can help me through it. It's amazing things in this little Psalm 23. You know, in verse 3, one version says, He refreshes my soul. He will guide us. He will refresh our soul. The shepherd refreshes your soul, my soul. If we'll get to know Him, if we'll dust off, you know, our Bibles, if we'll dig deep, if we'll not just say, I've read that story before, but really try to see God in a new light, it will refresh our soul.
Yeah, that's right.
God will refresh our soul. Go to the next slide. Does this sound refreshing? That goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life? And that you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Does that sound refreshing? I like it. I like what God's putting down there. Goodness and love is going to follow me around. All right, bring it on. I'll dwell in His house. You know, if you're a Christian today, you are dwelling in His house.
Yeah.
We can't see His spiritual house, but we're in it. And if we die faithfully, we're gonna see it firsthand. And we will be in His house forever, starting now, not starting later. It's pretty amazing.
Come on, Nick.
It's a refreshing thing to understand what it means to have Jesus as our good shepherd. And I know many of us know this. I know this. But it's just good for me. I'm reading Psalm 23 this week, and I'm just feeling like this is awesome. This is so good. God is so good. The idea of Him as my shepherd is fantastic. It was good for me to re-remember that.
Yeah.
It was good for me to dust it off and look at it again and feel it. Not just know it, but to feel it. What does it feel like to have Jesus watching over you and me, directing my course? Helping me, you know, sheep fall into, I don't know why they do this, but you always see pictures of a sheep falling in a pit. Why did they fall in a pit? Didn't they see that hole? I don't know. Maybe it's like the stuff we step into. You know, didn't you see that? But what does a shepherd do? Reaches down and pulls them out of this hole that they can't get out of so they can keep going on their journey. And that's what Jesus does for us. So as we understand that, as we refresh that concept with us, as we see Jesus as our shepherd again in a fresh light. Hopefully it refreshes our spirit. Go to the next slide. So we want to talk about what we want to keep and what do we want to do different. One thing we want to keep, we want to keep a heart to know God's Word. I don't know how many of us have read through the Bible. I bet many of us have. I know several people have talked about reading the Bible this year, you know, in a calendar year, that's the goal of a number of people in the church here. And that's a great goal. But just a heart to know God's Word. You know, in Psalm 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul."
Yep.
There's something about the Word of God that refreshes our soul. Yep. If we'll have a heart for it, if we'll actually read it, and not just read it and say, "Check, I read it,"
right,
but read it and meditate on it.
Right.
Think about it. Like what Nicole was talking about, she didn't just read it. She thought about it. She meditated on it. She let it sink in and she considered what it was saying. What does it mean to her? And it meant something. And that's why she came up and shared, because it meant something as she meditated on that. You know, look at this proverb. Go to the next slide here. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. Look at the action words in here and the heart in here about really wanting to know the Word of God. If you accept my words, if you store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight, if you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver, if you search for it as for hidden treasure, if that's the heart you have towards the Word of God, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. Your soul will be refreshed. If you do these things, then your soul will be refreshed. There's a lot of great things in here. You know, accepting the Word. Don't read it like a book that didn't come. That, you know, read it and accept it. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. It's true. You know, apply your heart. You know, I was talking with Mark Carlock before church this morning. And he was talking about, you know, just the holidays and some challenges he had felt. And he was talking about how, you know, he had some thinking that he had to kind of shake. And he's here today because he was able to shake that thinking and get on a different page. He was, you know, applying our heart to understanding. Yeah. Seeing what we're going through and saying, you know what, is this the right way to look at it? Is this the right take on it? Is this the truth? Let me get God's truth and let me focus on God's truth. And let that refresh my spirit. You know, Mark and I were talking about the verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. How many thoughts do we have that come zinging in our head, who knows from where, maybe from Satan, I don't know, and it's a thought that we don't want to dwell on. Maybe the thought is, you're nobody. God doesn't care about you. Anybody ever had that errant thought run through? I have. God is not on your side. I've had that thought. See, it's a lie.
Yep, that's right.
It's not true. And if I apply my heart to understand the Word of God, I'll know it's not true. And I'll be able to take that thought, throw it in the trash, and say, no, that's a lie. God loves me. He's my shepherd.
Right.
He's fired up about me. He says in Psalm 139 that I'm wonderfully made.
Wow.
I'm not going to think for a minute that I'm nothing. If God says I'm wonderfully made, that's the truth. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to throw away these other thoughts. I'm going to apply myself to be on God's page. And it refreshes our soul. Go to the next slide. So we want to keep a heart to know God's Word. Or if you don't have, if you feel like you don't really have that heart, well, choose to have it. There's nothing magic about it. We could choose today. You could choose today. You know what? I'm going to choose to have a heart to know the Word of God. I'm going to choose today, right now, as I'm sitting here. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to talk about it with other people. I'm going to pray for God to help me understand it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to rely on it. Choose today. We can totally do that. And that can be our new reality. That we have a heart to know the Word of God. We want to keep that. If we don't have it, we want to choose it. And then maybe we want to do something different to refresh us and God. Go to the next slide. You know, in Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You know, what's refreshing? Refreshing sometimes is change.
Yeah.
If we're stuck in a sin that we've been just okay with, not really dealing with it, well then repent. Choose to deal with it.
Talk about it.
If we choose to deal with the sin that's in our life, the sins we're tempted with, if we choose to stay engaged in the battle, saying, you know what, I'm not going to accept sin as okay. It's not okay. It hurts my soul. I don't like it. God doesn't like it. I'm not okay with it.
Right.
So I'm going to fight it. I'm going to repent it. I'm going to continue to repent. And then times of refreshing come because we're in the battle.
Right.
None of us are perfect.
Yep.
That's a good thing, actually. If this was the church of the perfect Christian, it would be an empty room.
Yep.
I wouldn't be here. This is not the church of the perfect Christian. This is the church of the forgiven Christian.
Amen. Yep.
And as we have sin in our life, we repent and we feel refreshed because we're dealing with it.
Yeah.
But it's not just sin. Sometimes we just want to do things differently because it refreshes our connection to God. And there's lots of things we can do differently. I'm going to share a few, and then Dee's going to come up and share something that she's been doing differently to refresh her time with God. You go to the next slide there. You know, what are some ways we can refresh us and God? We can set up a time where we're going to, you know, maybe we haven't been discussing our connection with God with anybody. Well, we can start doing that.
Yep.
You know, just having talk time with somebody. You know, it's easy to do. You can do it over the phone. You can text about it. You can meet for lunch, whatever. You can choose to study with somebody. You can read a book together and have a discussion about the book. You can choose a different location. I normally read in this location, but I'm getting stale in my reading time, so I'm going to read over here now. And somehow it just freshens it up because it's a different atmosphere. You can focus on just a word. I'm going to focus on, like Robin was talking about righteousness. And he says he offered up, hey, look up righteousness. Focus on that word for a time. So we can do stuff like that just to freshen up our heart with God. So Dee's going to come up right now for some show and tell.
Okay, so last year we did the whole focus on those three things, and focusing on my relationship with God was very encouraging for me because I felt like this is where I can learn and this is how I'm going to learn, and it was motivating for me every day to, what do I want to learn about God? What do I want to do? At the end of the week, I could write one or two sentences about what I learned about God. I did some of these things that Nick talked about. Katie and I read a book together. I went through Job chapter by chapter because I never really understood the specifics of it. I read, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 books probably and took notes on them and typed up my notes. All of these things. And when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, this is starting to sound like Ecclesiastes, you know, where it's I did this and I did this and I did this. And now he ended up being meaningless. I wouldn't say what I did was meaningless, but it was a great year last year. And then in the beginning of this year, because of some things that happened at the end of last year, some health issues, not with me, but with my dad, and turning my world upside down and some things that I needed to take care of with him, which it was just a lot. I'm back and forth twice to Ohio. And with all the other Christmas things, you just keep going. There isn't any time to process. You just have to keep going and going. And these were emotional things for me. So when the new year came around, I thought, okay, this is a new year. Let's get refocused. What book am I going to read? What? And I was just tired. I felt like I can't do that. And most of it was because of not processing emotionally what was going on. But I felt weary. I felt like I can't. I love God and I'm going to do this, but I can't do this. Something needs to be different. So I thought, I'm just going to get a word. A word for the, it's going to be simple. Simplifies my word. You know, it'll take care of everything. But then I thought, you know, I had a word last year and it was grateful. So, and I thought that didn't work for me. I started out that way and wanted to be, but really, could I say I was any more grateful? I don't know. So I thought, I can't do another word. So anyway, so I sat for the longest time, just what am I going to do? Where am I going to go with this? And so what I thought was that my mind is too busy and my heart is too busy. That's why I'm fighting for this simple thing, this simplify. Everything's too busy. And my relationship with God was one of those. It was too busy. It was this book. It was this. It was this. It was this. And so that had to just be quiet. And so what I did, this is my quiet time book. First of all, I start with my Bible. And I do have a word on here. It's being grounded. And I chose three things that I wanted to be grounded in: God's strength, God's compassion, and God's grace. And so I wrote that on there. And so I started with God's strength. And what I've done is maybe I do two scriptures a day. That's it. And I turned it into some kind of a creative thing. Because what happens, and I didn't realize this, but when I was talking to Erin about it, she said, you're using both sides of your brain. You're using the intellect side when I'm reading the scriptures. And then when I'm doodling or coloring or whatever you want to call this, creating, I'm using the other side of my brain. And so what happens is I write a scripture and then I sit and think about it. What's this mean to me? And how does this apply to my life? And what God are you trying to show me with this? And so then I might write what I feel like God is showing me. Sometimes it's just the verse and I just try and sit and think. It's two verses a day, maybe. Three if I really spend some extra time. So what I'm doing is I just keep going. And some pages are different. And honestly, sometimes I look at what I've done and I feel like, let me rip that out and start over because I like things a certain way. But it's forcing me to just let it be and let it be just me and God. And whatever moves that time, that's how it's going to be. And I should be proud of whatever I do. If I've left words out, I've misspelled words. When I'm copying, I just let it be. Because that's a part of who I am. It doesn't have to be ordered and perfect. So my idea is that I have other words in February or whenever I get through these, that maybe it's another word that I'm going to pick the characteristics of God and I'm going to start living what the word says and not just, you know, reading it and thinking shortly about it, but then moving on.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dee. So we have a new term. Instead of a quiet time with God, a doodle time with God. And, you know, so that could be the way you refresh you and God is no more quiet time, have a doodle time. If you're talented like some people are in the room, I would just heard that, some people write songs to God. So, you know, hey, that could be fun if you're able to do something like that. So for today, let's refresh us and God.
Yeah.
Let's remember that Jesus is the shepherd and he's the one that's going to refresh our soul. Let's keep a heart to know God's word. And then you know what? Let's think about if we want to do something different. If we can make a change to refresh us and God. Get a doodle book. Write a song. Do it somewhere different. Do it with another person. Whatever it is. But let's try to refresh that. And then I want to end with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. So many great quotes. I read 31 of his great of the more famous quotes yesterday. They're very inspiring. But in terms of us and God in a new year, if you can't fly, then run.
Yep.
If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl.
Yep.
But by all means, keep moving.
Amen.
You know, we got a new year. It doesn't matter one iota what happened last year.
Come on, Nick.
Let's move forward with God this year. So let's all take a moment to pray. Whatever's on your heart, offer it up to God. Say a prayer. Then we'll have the singers come up and they'll sing a song before we take communion.